This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
And there's a man lying down behind the wall, which means the wall can jump. Tillman over the wall scores! Malik Tillman! Lightning strikes twice! And the United States has tied the game!
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brendan Sprague.
Richards beating out of the air. Freeze has got to get there and deal with it. He takes it down off the chest to Kentelaar and knocks it away. Tim Ream can't block it. And unless video review says this is a foul from behind on Ream, it is a disastrous third goal to concede to Belgium.
Dirk and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan in the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is
happening? How we doing? How we feeling?
Doing fantastic. How'd yesterday go?
It's fine.
Missed you guys in the post 4th of July haze, the hangover one more day.
Yeah, I felt like half the office still in the haze. I got out of here pretty early. I'm like, dude, nobody's here. What are we doing?
Based on traffic, I think a lot of people still on the haze, still enjoying their post 4th of July festivities. You know, might as well take another week off. Why not?
Well, that's the weird thing is like, is it the week after now that people are taking? When the 4th of July is on a weekend, are they just deciding,
right,
which week do I take? Do I take the week before or the week after?
I think here's the problem in hand. I think you probably get half the folks who say, hey, week before, let's have a nice lead up to the 4th of July. So offices are half empty last week.
Yep.
And then you get the other half of the workforce that says, you know what, how about after the 4th of July? We go somewhere. It's on a Saturday. The Friday's the holidays, so we already got a bonus day. We'll take next week off. And then you get back-to-back weeks of a half-filled office. I imagine that will be the case a lot of places. But a delightful 4th of July, man. Weather was perfect. Great time out there.
Now, next year, it's a Sunday, so we get the Monday off?
I believe so. I think it's the carryover next day.
Yeah.
And then it'll be back to being a pain in the ass because a Monday 4th of July just blows. Nobody wants a Monday 4th of July.
I think I just subscribe to your brother's company's theory ultimately. Like,
have a week off.
The whole country.
Yeah.
Like universally, no matter what your job is.
I'll say this too, and I know you can't do it, but you probably could. Like, we need to figure out a way where permanently we make the 4th of July a Saturday. The 4th of July and Halloween should not fall on weekdays. Just move it. Like, whatever the closest Saturday is, that's the day we celebrate the 4th of July. And the last Saturday of October.
So you want to get rid of the number
the
of the
day
fourth.
Next to the date. Because okay. Nobody wants Halloween on a Tuesday night. That sucks.
No.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
You get a Saturday, you got all day to dress up, you go trick-or-treating, you go to bed late, you got nothing to do the next day. Like, I think I'm onto something here. I'm onto something.
It just feels odd to not be actually the July 4th.
Based on my neighborhood, people think it's still the 4th of July yesterday. Dude. We're still lighting off fireworks, so, what's the difference?
I said that yesterday. I was like, who has leftovers? And then yesterday, after the show last night, we had fireworks again.
Pop, 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 pop. Boom.
Boom.
What? We're still doing it?
We're still doing the bombs?
You haven't gotten rid of your arsenal yet? You had like 4 days, man. You didn't even send out a desk pop the day before, at least, then unload your load on the 4th of July.
Did you get shamed about the fireworks at your brother's house?
I did not. It was a purpose pitch, and I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad that I brought them. Now, I will say I almost caught my parents' house on fire, but other than that, it was a delightful experience.
With Oregon fireworks?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
I thought that they were small little fountains. Like, I went and bought three. We went out to the Freddy's, the Oak Grove Freddy's. Shout out Clackamas County, still selling your fireworks. And I bought three fountains, not thinking they were that big of a deal. They were all like $10, so I figured these are just small little colorful things. So we lit them off in the driveway instead of the street, and one of them had like a 15-foot range of the spread.
Why would you not light it in the street?
I thought they were, you know, I thought we had watered down Oregon fireworks. I didn't think they sent us anything powerful. I scared my niece a little bit. She wanted to go inside because one of them started screaming.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was a success. It was great to see at least a few fireworks before the night was over.
Well, I'm glad it worked out for you. I had a pretty low-key 4th of July. I've made the decision. I announced this yesterday. Ooh. I don't think I'll ever do a 4th of July not at the coast again in my life.
Yeah, you want to go back to the coast?
I didn't buy mortars. We did these $30 rinky-dink little cherry blossoms. Over.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
not a lot there.
It was just such a nondescript 4th, which is fine. It was an okay time.
Sure.
Just the beach cannot be beaten.
The beach for the 4th of July is solid. It's one of the holidays I look forward to because there's so much going on in our neighborhood. Like, there's a parade through Eastmoreland and Dunaway that we went to that in the morning. We figured out slowly that our open swim at our neighborhood pool, nobody goes to on the 4th of July. So we did a parade, then to the open pool. And
that's odd. You would think on the 4th of July, kids would be
sandlotting
it up.
Maybe 8 people at the entire pool. Wow. We basically had a huge pool to ourselves, throwing a football around, having a great time. Barbecue, home by 9. Mm-hmm. The neighborhood was having a big, you know, cookout. Saw all the neighbors. I was, you know, 4th of July is one of the holidays for me that I don't want to leave town because we got so much going on in our neighborhood. But I certainly understand the argument of a beach 4th of July.
Well, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you had a good 4th.
Yes, it was delightful. Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday. And lo and behold, we have, yes indeed, he is back from his 18-day excursion.
Ciao,
on
Bella.
A 45-sail sailboat in Italy. Jason Swigard.
Hey!
Hi! Buongiorno! Hey. Buongiorno!
We're alive!
I already hate you.
All right, what was the best food? What did we like? What did we eat?
We ate everything. I'll just put it that way.
All of the above was eaten in Italy.
Did not have a bad meal.
I don't eat the wiener.
Ooh. No, didn't have any of that.
Oh,
a lot of seafood.
Yeah.
A lot of seafood. It was fantastic, yep.
Good trip?
It was amazing. I've never done anything like that before. Hopefully I will have an opportunity at some point to do something like that again.
Yeah.
And it was really two vacations. There was one, it was just Megan and I started out in Rome, to Florence, to Venice. We met up with a couple of friends who were going on the cruise with us. So that was like 10 days. And then the cruise itself, down through the Dalmatian coast and Montenegro and Croatia.
Let's power rank where you went.
Yeah, give us a...
I need a power ranking.
In
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. In Italy, our favorite city that we enjoyed the most, and this is not to say the others were bad, just what we enjoyed the most was Florence.
Mm-hmm.
I would go back to Florence if I was going to go one place for like a week or something. We took a wine tour up to Tuscany one day for a couple of wineries. It was 100 and whatever. The only thing that it was hot as hell.
Yeah,
humid.
Everybody was complaining about it over there. No AC at a lot of European places.
So yeah, fortunately, all our hotel rooms did have AC, but. Oh, man. Other than that, Florence, the old town is pretty small. It's pretty compact with the river around it and the wall. We had an amazing time. It's hard to explain if you have not been over there. It just, you know, we look at old buildings. Oh, that's been there 100 years. Crap's been over there for like 2,500 years. You go
longer
into the Colosseum and the Forum and the ruins and Palatine Hill and all that sort of stuff. And they talked about Venice being its own republic for like 1,000 years until Columbus came over and discovered America. And it turned out that because Venice owned all the ports between like India and China and Europe. And so they ruled dominance and then Columbus went and everybody found out, oh, we can go the other way and it's a little cheaper. We're not taxed so much on everything. Obviously, I saw you guys appreciating my photo next to David there by Michelangelo. Oh,
fantastic.
That seemed
small
to be...
Small ween, hello.
Yeah. Seemed to be... Yeah.
Bigger or smaller in person,
ooh,
the ween.
Yeah. He's a grower. He's not a shower. It's okay.
It's not a bad ween.
No,
it's a
big sculpture.
Yeah.
It's a big sculpture.
It's not his fault he was so big. You know what I mean?
It's not proportionate, you know?
And then Croatia, and I think our favorite spot, I mean, all of it was amazing. Our favorite spot, though, one of our excursions off the cruise ship, we went sea kayaking in Kator Bay in Montenegro. And so you kind of, through the Adriatic Sea, and you'd go into these ports, there was usually some sort of little channel or something where you'd go into where the port is. And so Kator Bay, there's actually 10 little villages all around it. You're almost 360 degrees other than the little channel that comes in. And so we went sea kayaking and kind of up the shoreline from village to village. And then we stopped somewhere kind of on a beach and we went out in the middle of the bay and we're swimming around and looking up. And then it goes up to these ginormous mountains, granite and limestone, these stone mountains. And you just kind of looked up and looked all the way around and you're floating out there. And it was, yeah, it was
I'm not going home.
So did you get to explore Croatia much? Because I've heard Croatia is pretty awesome.
It's gorgeous. So we went into these port towns, and it's all because it's pretty mountainous and it's all stone. Yep. So there's very little, once you get away from the port, that land you can actually develop and put stuff on. So everything is right around the coastline. So we did do Šibenik was the first stop. That was gorgeous. We went to, there's a big national park up there, Krka National Park. And it's fed from a natural underground spring, and it's got all these waterfalls. So if you followed along, as I was trying to tweet something once or twice a day and just show you where we were and a few things of what we did, and a lot of people, you know, commented and appreciated. Hopefully you'll head on out there or go on an adventure yourself. But yeah, so it was like a mile and a half walk around the whole thing, and it was this series of waterfalls, but it generated hydroelectric for them. They had a hydroelectric plant there, but there were no natural, there was no dams, there was no reservoirs, there was no nothing like that. It was just all natural. And that thing was gorgeous. Dubrovnik was, that was all stormy. We went into the old town that day, so, and you could tell when you went to a lot of the towns along the coast of Croatia, the Venetian influence, because they all looked the same. There's this big wall around the city. And so a lot of them you could pay to, you know, walk the wall essentially.
Right. Go around.
All around. And then inside, and they were all these little cobblestone, windy, turny, you know, little walkways and roads. And then there'd be just, you know, restaurant here, cafe here, little shop here, all of that sort of stuff. And Venice is just surreal. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
It's just floating, all these islands that are sinking, by the way. They don't know
if they're
how long it's going to be.
It's like Miami, they're
all underwater. Exactly.
At some point, they're going to get overtaken by water. You
so there's no cars. There's no cars in Venice at all.
It's walking in boats, right?
That's exactly. So there's a grand canal. That,
how is Venice not number one? That just seems like a dream to me.
It was surreal. And just our experience, we just, we found Florence a little more romantic. We had our favorite meal. Kind of, there was this one piazza that opened up and there were sculptures and a fountain and a big basilica and some other stuff there. And so our last night in Florence, Megan wanted to, we found a spot kind of in it to have a dinner. And so we booked a reservation in the afternoon and then came back, and it was great. Our waiter, Silvano.
Was he hitting on your wife?
I think she was hitting on him.
Oh, yeah, it goes the other way. His accent is sexy, man. Are you kidding me? Silvano, I'm taking you home with
me. He had this little tiny ponytail and a little, little goatee.
Uh-oh. He was great. I'm scared now. Here comes Silvano.
She's going to randomly in her sleep, Silvano.
No. Swag. It's swag.
And so...
what about Rome? You haven't even
Rome was amazing. We, because we walked everywhere. I mean, we did.
That's what Europe's about, man.
I know.
That's why nobody's just fat. Walk. They just eat and walk.
I know. That's the thing. But it was hotter than Hades and just humidity. And so, yeah, you'd go somewhere and.
So the weather kind of dictates some of this power ranking, doesn't it?
It was actually warmer in Florence. Florence was the hottest because it was inland. I mean, Rome is not on the coast, but it's close to the coast. The airport's actually on the coast.
Because you flew into Rome, right?
Yeah, Fiumicino Airport, which is on the coast, and then it's a half hour or 45-minute ride into downtown Rome from there. But yeah, we saw, I mean, the Coliseum and the Forum and just all of that, realizing that was, you're talking about, okay, some of this was BC, some of this was AD, that's how, and yeah, some of the stuff going on. We saw, there was one little spot in the Coliseum, so they told us kind of, you see some of the underground, but yeah, you saw, and I don't think it was off, I think it was refurbished, but the cages where they kept like the tigers or the lions or whatever way underground. And then you saw the pulley lever system.
And bring them up.
There would bring them up to the floor level and then the little trap door and they'd release it and it would go up.
Crazy.
So that
used to be a time when humans fought against lions and tigers in exactly. front of thousands of people.
Exactly.
Sounds like an entertaining sport if you're being so, honest here.
Stepped on that right that. There.
USA men took on a tiger yesterday. They called Belgium.
They might have been more competitive if they had a few lions on their team last night.
Yeah, we're still trying to comprehend. And then the one night, and there was the one video, we had been, turned out, we didn't know it at the time, but Megan has a cousin on her Lebanese side of the family that was living in Rome.
Oh.
That she discovered while we were over there. So we went over and visited them.
You just looked somebody up in her family tree and went.
No. She was talking to one of her relatives.
Okay.
You know, she was texting back and forth, an aunt who said, hey, your cousin,
by the way,
is living over in.
Has she ever met this cousin?
She's met this cousin.
Okay.
I haven't.
Okay. Got it. I thought this was a.
But they were doctors.
23andMe. Hey, she's here. Let's go.
No.
We just got the DNA test back. By the way.
No. So then we went out kind of into the suburbs and met them, and they kind of took us around to some unknown parts. We walked the Spanish Steps one morning. We went out there for breakfast, little bistro right in front of the Spanish Steps, and walked the Spanish Steps.
Mm. Are we retiring in Italy? Is this the goal now?
Actually, there's some stuff right on the coastline in Couture. That's for sale.
Hey, there you go.
Well, I always got our eyes on it. These things pop into my algorithm to be like, small town in Ireland or small town in Italy, houses for $2,000, but you have to
live there.
You have to live there, but you
also
have to like renovate the house. You can't just leave it as they basically want you to spend $50,000.
I would say I would more look towards Croatia or Montenegro. It was gorgeous right there. Fresh seafood.
Oh, that's right up my alley.
I know. I ate more things. If it came out of the sea, I tried it.
How much,
much
cheese did you eat?
Didn't go overboard on the cheese.
Didn't walk through all the markets and try all the cheeses?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I had some charcuterie boards and other sorts of things. And then we got, you know, the food on the cruise ship was outstanding.
I would hope so.
It was amazing.
45 sails on a boat. It better have good food.
You got to have good food. That's the rule.
Great food.
It's a minimum, man.
Based on the number of sails on that boat.
Yeah.
Now, did we learn any Italian when we were over there?
Grazie.
Okay.
Prego.
I already knew that.
Fortunately, we didn't need to learn a ton because everybody spoke English, especially where there was heavy.
I mean, they know what they're doing
they
in that area. There's
doing.
So many tourists that come through there. You got to be able to, like, 20% of your clientele is probably constantly tourists.
I would say,
if
like,
not more than that.
We are probably already there, but, like, we're probably also a couple more years from a little more of the touristy spots around the world. Almost all of them knowing English.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
We do the ugly American thing. Learn English. It's like literally everybody around
they
the world.
Adapt to
no,
us.
They know.
Learning
they
English
go the other way.
At touristy
and
spots.
The cruise ship was very international. There was mostly the biggest contingent was from Great Britain. Mm. So a lot of Brits, some Germans, some
drop
French.
Any allows.
Oh, yeah. We were talking. That was the fun part because. Because it's so small. I mean, there was 200 guests on there, so you're
seeing the same people.
You're seeing the same
day.
People.
Yeah.
And there was our crew with the travel agency. So the guy, the husband and wife that owned the travel agency owned the Arrivederci restaurant down there off McLaughlin.
Oh.
And so the friend of Megan's, who started all this, it was his 60th birthday, he said, I'm going to do this. You should come. So they have an open mic piano bar thing on Tuesday nights.
It's a great bar, yeah.
And so Barbara Ayers, who sang with Tony Starlight in the Supper Club, she was there, and some other people. So there was a contingent from kind of the Portland area of people. So that was kind of our group. So we got to know them, And then you would go on these excursions. And so, yeah, you'd talk to some British, you know, Sheila from where was she? Up by Manchester. 68.
We got a Silvano and a Sheila on this trip for the Swigards. What's going on?
Oh,
here?
No. Sheila's 68.
So, what? Yeah, you're 55.
Yeah.
Single, just traveling the world just on her own.
Checking stuff out.
Oh, God, she was hilarious. She's just, yeah. She was just hilarious. So, yeah, a lot of characters on. We went in this one restaurant in Rome, and there was, you know, any number of people, busboys and servers and cooks, and there was this one woman who looked to be in her mid-40s, and she was nice, but she was going 90 miles out, and she was just running the show. She'd swing open the door back to the kitchen and just start yelling at him in Italian to do this, that, and the other thing. And we were both fascinated and scared of her at the same time. But we had ducked in because it was a hot day. We're like, okay, we got to go somewhere. This guy,
let's go cool off a little bit over
and
here.
And we were just fascinated just watching her. Had gelato too many times to discuss. It was, I mean, there was a gelato stand every 300 yards.
I'm more afraid how many little pizzas I would eat if I went over there, more than gelato.
We had a couple. We didn't do a ton of pizza.
It's such a good snack. The way they make it over there, it's not
pizza
as heavy
and pasta
as America.
Would just, I mean, I'd gain 35 pounds if I went over there. It wouldn't stop.
There were a whole bunch of different styles of pizza. There was the Napoli, you know, that you see kind of in the wood-fired oven, a very simple mozzarella, the crushed tomatoes and some basil.
That's all I would want to eat.
Yeah.
That's all. I'd be good with that.
Pasta. We did go back to the same spot. There's a district, Trastevere, which is across the Tiber River from where we were staying. There was kind of some more bohemian markets and restaurants and stuff. And it was old school. It was very simple. They actually had house-made wine, so you'd get this ceramic jug, a one-liter jug of house-made wine for like 12 euros. It was awesome.
That's a good deal.
So you're doing that. Best carbonara I've ever had. It was so simple. It was just, egg and cheese and bacon and black pepper on these. It was amazing.
That sounds like a good time. So was the boat a-rocking?
The sea swells got going late in the trip.
I've never referred to my sex life as a sea swell.
No, I haven't either.
But I
do know the motion of the ocean.
That.
People tell me the motion of the ocean matters, so I'm glad that we were swelling back and forth a little bit. We had some good rotating going on.
Buongiorno, Silvio. It's good to have you back, man.
It's good to be back. TV situation was nowhere to be found.
That's good. That's how it should be on vacation. So, you don't need to watch a Dodger game when you're in Italy. You'll be all right.
I didn't.
We saw you on a YouTube chat one of the days, and it kind of made us mad.
Like, what are you doing on a YouTube chat? You're in Italy right now.
I feel bad. We didn't respond to a lot of your texts, but we were trying to like tell you without telling you, dude, stop texting us. Go vacation.
I didn't think I texted you that much. I mean, obviously, I had the ESPN app, so I saw, the Blazers finally hired a coach, and we got Jaw and whatever. No, the one time I watched, I was actually just on the train. So we were on a train going from Rome. Okay. So I was just
real
and it
quick.
Just worked out.
Because we need to get going and dive into the World Cup and everything.
Yes.
Did you find the transportation, the trains, the walking? I've been told the infrastructure, the way it's designed for people, is infinitely better than us being forced to be in cars for an hour at a time.
Yes. Once we figured out the train state, The big train station in Rome, similar to like Grand Central State, that took us a minute to what the hell's going on?
Right.
But once we figured it out, it was a great way to travel.
Yeah.
And you go from city to city.
It's so easy there, too, because you forget how close some of those places are.
Like, and it dumps you right into downtown.
Yeah.
And so you're
centrally
there.
Centrally built. You get out of the train station. You just go walk around. You're right there in the heart
around,
of the city.
And everybody, you can see people are there. They got their suitcases. You can walk to your hotel. Yeah. So
we're stuck in cars all day.
All day.
Swag is back. He's back from his European excursion. We got a loaded show today. There is a lot to discuss. We got some breaking NBA news that just came across the wire. And we'll start with the World Cup. USA down and out, beat down by Belgium yesterday. Start there. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Speaking of bringing that ass, Belgium taking back the American ass from the World Cup. Oof, 4-1.
Oh, that was rough.
That was tough.
That was rough. My brother texts me. He's like, this feels like the Oregon Indiana game. yeah, it does. Yeah.
I saw one tweet on our show page. And it was the halftime interview of Dan Lanning against Ohio State. it was from a Duck fan.
35-0. Our buddy Landon Tangwall said, this feels like every big Penn State game for the last 10 years. You beat up on a bunch of teams ranked in the 30s and 40s, and then you get a top 10 matchup, and it's 21-0 at halftime, and you're going to fire your head coach.
It felt like the end of the Blazers season. Hey, we made the playoffs again!
Yeah, we did it!
C-5, bitch.
Even without their best player for a game and a half? Yeah. Okay. Right. Even without their best player for a game and a half. That's right. We've all experienced that before. We know what a good letdown looks like. USA! USA!
Dude, that was...
That sucked. Everything about it sucked.
Well, okay, so I have a lot I want to get to actually on this. I know we're not Soccer Show USA here normally.
Yeah, speak for yourself. Okay. They call me Footy Dirt now.
Hey, I get made fun of for liking English Premier League football now, okay? I get it.
I just love all the times I've seen people say, wait, you're telling me soccer's always this exciting? I need to watch it more. And it's like, not all soccer's the World Cup, buddy.
Well,
where you play three group stage games and then go into single elimination tournament. It's a little bit different.
I would argue, well, here's my only, can I give you one rebuttal?
The number of false, I'm going to love soccer now takes. It's just driving me insane over the last 3 weeks.
Love a team that is in relegation battle and the last month will feel like a knockout stage every single weekend.
Every single game matters, absolutely.
But if your team's like middle of the pack,
it's nothing matters.
Yeah, we lost, but we're still in sixth.
We're just going to play for a draw today. All right, it's nothing. Nothing. All right. See you Tuesday.
Look, there's a lot of takeaways from this. I kind of want to start with a poll question I put up yesterday, and I heard it. I was actually thinking of it literally, and then Fox just said it on the broadcast. I'm like, perfect.
Ooh, look at that.
So I wanted to hide behind the broadcast on the poll question because I didn't want to get the immediate blowback of, oh, look at these jack wagons posting this poll question. And it was Rebecca Lowe asking the dais,
Zlatan.
Is this a success? Was this World Cup, for Team USA specifically, was it a success? I asked it online yesterday on the show page, yes or no. And I went through a lot of stuff. I was texting with Patrick, Soccer or Patrick.
Yeah.
And I was giving him just take after take. I was firing off my pre-show takes to him.
I love he became our soccer. Every time something happened, and when the Balogun red card happened, I immediately texted Patrick the other day.
I'm what like, does this mean?
Wait, why was that a red card? What's going on? Can you call Donald Trump and get him involved, please?
Didn't have to wait on that one.
Didn't have to wait.
And we'll get to that part of it, too, because people were blaming people. And, oh, look what we did. We lost because of that. And I was like, okay. But I put the poll question up. Do you consider Team USA's World Cup a success, yes or no? And right now, yes is slightly winning that poll right now at Dirt and Sprague.
I love the first text we got on this today is I'd rather talk about the backup left tackle for Oregon State than talk about soccer. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
It's almost football season.
You know what starts today? Big 12 Media Days. Big 12 Media Days are literally today.
And then you know what starts in 2 weeks? Not Pac-12 Media Days.
No, and we will get to that today because that needs to be talked about. You cheap bastards. Is Tom Dunham running the Pac-12?
It costs too much. You don't understand.
Why would you want to get the word out of your conference? Do I view it as a success or a failure?
Yeah.
That is a very complicated question because there are strong arguments to be made for either side. Ultimately, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but I'm going to lean 52-48 failure.
Okay.
Because all of
why failure over success?
Because you beat a bunch of nobodies that were only in the tournament because the tournament expanded and you got to the round that you always get to, and you didn't just lose. You were embarrassed in front of 50 million people.
Dude, you look like you didn't belong like, anywhere near that level.
If last night's game had been you score, they got the free kick where it bounces off the guy's head, you're like, dude, what a break. 1-1. And it stays 1-1 all the way to the, Belgium scores a goal in the 88th minute. Oh, they had one in on a corner. 2-1. Oh, USA had their chances in stoppage time. Yeah. Dang it. It was right there for us. We just came up a little bit short. By all means, it would have been a failure. But I think a lot of the goodwill that you built up beating the teams that you were, frankly, supposed to beat, that you were better than, and massive favorites against, it went away because this is the first time you played a team with a pulse in the World Cup. And you got smoked, dude. Your goalie looked like my nephew's 8-year-old soccer team has a better goalie than we had last night. That's one of the worst plays in the history of sports, considering the circumstances, the setting, and the timing of the game. That is one of the worst plays I have ever seen in my entire life. And I know we can be hyperbolic in sports radio, but that's what that has to be
easily
in the top four of the worst I've ever seen.
The defender can't get beat over the top like that.
That's fine. Just
boot
the ball.
Look, I'll just say this. Tim Ream sucks.
He sucks.
I didn't know who Tim Ream really was. I'd heard the name, but didn't really know much. And then I watched, and I'm like,
yeah, he did not
are we
have...
just looking for other goalies with the name Tim? Like, that's our strategy now?
The goalie's name is Freeze, right?
Yeah, that's Matt Freeze.
Yeah, Matt Freeze is the goalie. Tim Ream
was the captain and the central defender.
He was constantly being beat.
Sure. I mean, a lot of guys played. Pulisic was awful.
There was a lot of...
The team sucked.
They all sucked. Every single one of them
Even
sucked.
Even Balogun. Yeah. You got this free pass. It's like I saw you do one thing. You tried to do a slick no-look pass. It was a turnover. Over.
Yeah, he had the one attempt in the second half. And that
he tried to go short side.
He had the one look.
That
and,
angle.
You know,
but
make the goal.
But
also,
for no those offense, reasons, like, goal. I just, if you lose a game 2-1, I'm not going to come in here and
if
say
if you're Mexico and England.
Yeah.
Mexico and England had one of the best matches of soccer I've
that
ever
was
seen
one
in my
of
life.
The best games I've ever seen.
Like,
crazy.
Give me that kind of fight. They rolled over. That was like the playoff game when Russell Wilson threw the pick six against the Rams.
I mean,
it was a bloodbath.
I'll keep doing it at my own expense. I mean, it was all this momentum, and it's hey, we're playing Indiana, and it's 21-0 in the first quarter. Like, wait, what?
So here's the other part of this. It's I'm going to sound really idiotic with this.
Oh, go for it.
In a way I've never seen, Young Wei Koo kicking the turf is an all-time NFL moment in special teams history.
Also saved a guy's life. Remember we shared that story?
We did.
The guy that realized he had a heart attack or something.
He laughed so hard that he had a stroke.
And then he realized there was some more other medical issue there.
The one caveat I could say is Young Wei Koo has 300-pound men barreling down on him and the whole stadium like saying you basically got to make this kick.
Yeah.
I can kind of understand having a duff. Don't see it often.
No excuses, but...
Soccer is literally only played with your feet, and he kicked the ground.
He kicked to the ground before the ball. In the second half of a 2-1 game in the World Cup. It's 2-1.
You're like a goalie in the World Cup. Right. You're in the round of 16.
In the next 20 minutes, they had a handful of chances. Now, they didn't end up scoring another one, but how different do those chances feel if the game's 2-1? And how much more pressure is them on Belgium late in the game if it's only 2-1, right? And at any moment, you could have a tie. You give them a two-goal lead. I mean, the game was over at that
they
point.
They scored their first goal 8 minutes in. I don't know about you, but it took me 2 minutes of the match actually starting to go, Belgium is significantly
better
than us.
It took me 45 seconds. They had a corner in the first minute. They almost scored.
I had Jake Zivin on yesterday, and he was driving to Seattle to go to the game with some friends. And, you know, not knowing anything. Because when Swag will tell us about soccer, CONCACAF, USA friendlies. Like, I don't watch friendlies. So I'm raising my hand, being ugly, stupid American here. Zivin had told me we just played Belgium in a friendly. They whooped our ass 5-2. And I was like,
it's a friendly. Come on.
Right. I'm like, well, we got momentum, and we're at the clink. We're at Lumen.
Yeah, where's that atmosphere last night? It was like a church in there, man. I think it was a funeral for American
soccer.
I think
it was good. And again, I think everybody there realized what we did on TV 2 minutes in. Oh, my God. They're
way that.
Better than
well,
us.
Well, after Tillman's goal off the free kick, it was rocking. And then the minute Belgium scored 30 seconds later or whatever.
You mean the own goal that we scored, that Belgium really scored for
deflections,
us?
Deflections, baby.
That was an own goal.
Pucks on the net. You never know where it's going to bounce, okay? Pucks on the net, it's
get
a good thing.
I just
shoot the puck.
That was a really, really brutal way to end. Now, I think in some ways you can say success. Because you feel like most of the crop is back for the, what would it be, the 2030 World Cup.
That's a young team, yeah.
Which, by the way, is being played where? Where are they playing the World Cup in 2030?
It is Spain, Morocco, and Portugal.
Okay, so it's a, what, an 8-9 hour clock
eight,
ahead
eight
of
hours
us?
Ahead, yeah.
Okay, that's not awful.
It's not Qatar.
I think a lot of people think that crop coming back built on getting to the round of Sweet 16, even though it's expanded, so really you didn't do anything you normally don't do if you're
no.
And also our group stage was one of the worst groups of all the
yes.
tournament.
Yes.
If we're being honest.
We got it because we were the host country.
Yeah.
It was not the group of death.
No, it certainly was not.
It was not.
It certainly was not. And I would also say you could vote yes. As corny as it is, it has felt weirdly nice to feel like a whole country?
Until about 24 hours ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, look.
We can't avoid it now. We can't, and it drives me nuts. I don't let it impact my fandom. I think that's one of the stupidest things you could do in life.
I agree with that.
Is letting politics get in the way of rooting for your country. No matter what your politics is, it drives me nuts. I just, please, for the love of God, can I get one international competition where it's not dominated by political headlines?
I'm with you. I said yesterday, I actually think most of the online fodder is not real. I think most people yesterday were like, hey,
but I know it creates conversation
corrupt,
and buzz.
And we got a guy back when we shouldn't have. And let's win the whole damn thing. Like, I think that was most of the people's feelings.
Right. And all the people right now saying, if you're not rooting for Team USA soccer, get out of the country, weren't rooting for Team USA basketball in France.
There's a lot of
that.
Because
it goes the other way.
There's a lot of that.
Just shut up. Everybody shut up.
Everybody shut up.
Yes. That's the lesson of the day.
That's a good poll question. Everybody
Does
shut up.
Does everybody need
no?
to shut up? Yes, everybody needs to shut up. Can I not have the FBI director boozing with the hockey team after winning a gold medal game? Can I not have that? Can I just have one moment?
What happened to shut up and dribble?
What happened to that?
Remember that?
What happened to stick to
shut
sports?
Shut up and dribble.
Do we not stick to sports anymore?
Why do they not shut up and legislate?
Everybody, shut up!
Can we raise the minimum wage in
God,
the country?
Driving me crazy.
Anyways... I think the cohesive feel of small town America with Mo Salah, for example, it's felt great. Now, I know a lot of people are going to drop off the World Cup. I am not, actually. I'll give you a take. Well, here's my counter.
Oh, sorry.
Harry Kane, Lionel Messi, Kylian Mbappe, Erling Haaland. You have four absolute studs.
Actual names that I know. And,
and they're delivering. Like, yeah. And they're not just like, oh, their teams are playing well. Like, Erling Haaland is carrying Norway. They're
yes,
a good
he
team,
is.
But he is carrying
His second
Norway.
Goal the other day was sick.
I mean,
between the legs
if he
one.
Touches the ball, he's going to score. And he doesn't touch the ball a whole lot.
How do we get one of those guys?
Well, that's a whole other conversation I actually want to have.
Oh, okay.
There was something that somebody mentioned yesterday. I'm like, that's fascinating.
Are we sure we want to overturn birthright citizenship? Because we're going to lose our entire team. Maybe hold off on that one until the next World Cup. Hold it until 2030. We need these guys.
Boy, you got real political in this segment. I don't know how that happened, man.
Good to be back, baby. Good to be back. I did have the end of March Madness feeling that I have usually, where it's like, that was fun. Now we don't have to care about this anymore.
Okay, you're not going to watch.
I'm going to watch. I'm just
England and
kidding.
Norway should be good.
It should be good.
I think England's sneaky, like,
send
little...
me a text to remind me when the games are starting, and I'll turn it on. Hey, Dirt, it's second half. Okay, thanks, buddy.
Spain and Belgium?
Hey, sure, should why not? Fun.
I hate Spain.
I do, too.
I know.
They
frustrate the hell out of you.
Rough watch.
But they got the next great superstar, that 18-year-old kid.
Yeah, Yamal?
Yeah.
And, like, they haven't given up any goals
the
entire World
goal.
Cup, but they score, like,
they
one
haven't
game.
Given up a goal the entire World Cup? How many games have they played? Six now? Five?
Five.
Five games?
Three and 32, round 16. Round 16, yeah.
They haven't given up a goal in five games?
No.
Just one to nothing? They're
clean
the Iowa?
Sheets, dude. Clean
the
sheets.
Iowa of soccer? Is that what you're
punts,
telling me?
Punts.
is this the most disappointing person ever? And... why are we not even close to competing is one more follow-up I want to get to, and then we'll pivot out. The World Cup has delivered mostly, but yesterday USA did not deliver. So we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Got some local news we'll dive into. Get some football stuff today. Yes. For a lot of people now, it's football season, baby. Camp's opening up here soon.
I'm already seeing takes from Big 12 Media Days. Give me that Big 12 Media poll, baby.
So we'll dive into some of all that today. It is a Mail Sack Tuesday as well, so get those Mail Sack questions in at the fan text line, 503-864-6326.
Mail Sack!
Brought to you by Sparta TRT in the final hour of the radio program. Christian Pulisic is the most overrated American athlete since who? I feel like for almost a decade, I've heard nothing about this guy. He's the saving grace of our sport of soccer.
Yeah, he sucked.
He plays in the Premier League. That's how good he is. He doesn't even play over here. And then I find out he's like kind of a reserve. He's not even that great a player over there.
Oh, yeah. And then the whole thing, like him sitting out the Gold Cup, I know was controversial because it was about getting ready for the World Cup. And he did nothing in the World Cup, and he got hurt in the World Cup.
He took himself out. What minute mark was it when he took himself out? I know he got injured, but what was it?
Stop watching. Last night, did he take himself
last
out?
Night?
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah, he took himself out.
He
kicked him. He kicked the other guy's foot.
Kicked the
flopped, pretended the guy shot him in the head. And then everybody saw the replay. I was like, dude,
you
get
kicked
up.
Him. Yeah.
Patrick told me it's something he picked up in Italy. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. Awesome.
That is a great question.
I was
most
trying to think
overrated
of
overrated American athlete.
Because people were photoshopping James Harden in his jersey yesterday.
That's pretty good, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Joel Embiid, not even playing.
Yeah, it's hard to do comps because like, on the international stage, it's hard to make a comp like that.
What's the swimmer after Phelps? He got busted at the gas station for pissing.
Lochte? Was it Lochte? Ryan Lochte?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. He kind of sucked, didn't he?
But didn't
he? I mean, he won some medals, though, didn't he?
I'm not gonna ask the question.
Let me see how many Lochte medals.
Dude, you can think about whatever you think about all the big time athletes. Most of them that are big, it's because they show up and they deliver.
6 golds, 3 silvers, and 3 bronze. Now, total douche, not Michael Phelps, but
Michael Phelps is the greatest accomplished swimmer of our
life. That he is. That you're gonna have to let me
6 gold medals.
Yeah, that's still amazing.
You got to let me noodle on that
are
one for a while.
Are those team medals though? Like was Phelps the one doing
the butterfly? In the relay? He's the one closing it out. You're welcome. Here's another gold medal for you.
I've heard nothing but that name, and my walk away take is like honestly, and they were like, "Well, let's see if we get together by 2030," and I'm like, "What? So he could be even more injured?" I was so unimpressed. By him. Here's Carly Lloyd last night. She was on the postgame show.
Oh, she ripped him.
She did. Here was Carly Lloyd on Team USA's loss to Belgium.
No, look, it's a bit of a downer for us being out here now after this loss, but I felt like they lost the game before they even stepped out onto the pitch, and I'm not sure why, and I don't know the reasons, but just from the beginning, just chasing, scared, just not confident on the ball. And I think big-time players, you wanted some of those big-time players to step up in big moments. And I got to be honest, I was a bit disappointed with Christian Pulisic. I think whether he wants to be the star of this team or not, we didn't see enough from him in this particular game and really the whole World Cup. Little glimpses here and there. But, aside from this loss, I think on the brighter storyline. It's been a fantastic World Cup. This team has united the country. They have, gotten American fans to fall in love with them. And there is a bright future, but this is just a real disappointing loss to go out on.
Amen.
Yeah, well put.
He was terrible.
Yeah, that's the hardest part is that when there's never even a moment in watching the tournament where he ever felt like the United States' best player.
No.
Like, there was never a highlight. There's not anything. Balogun certainly became a conversation, and the red card had a lot to do with that. But
he was
delivering, and he was playing, and he was scoring goals. And you're like, who's this? And then even the Tillman free kick, you're like, dude, that's something that you don't see often from American soccer players. Not the one last night, although it was, nice little deflection. But the one a man down in the game before against Bosnia, like, that was a touch of class that you just don't often see. There was never a moment watching that you're like, ooh, I could see it. Pulisic's their best player. Mm. And by the way, this young American soccer phenom, Hope, he's 27 years old. In the next World Cup, he's going to be 31. And people are comparing him, like, as a disappointment to Landon Donovan. Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know a lot about United States World Cup history. I don't watch that much soccer. But in my vague remembrances of World Cups, I remember Landon Donovan at least having moments and scoring goals and being like, all right, he's balding, but he's, you know, look at that little guy out there getting it done. That's kind of cool. Like, I at least remember. I don't remember anything from Pulisic's international career. Well, there's nothing that stands out.
Unfortunately for him, he's also been at a time where this is USA, because they've had some down moments during the World Cup time, right? Like, they've completely missed the World Cup.
I mean, they're for 40 years until the early 90s. They didn't go to one.
I think it's bad timing for them, but, you got to deliver. Like, look around all these countries. When you're at this stage, like, guys are delivering. And that Belgium team, by everything I read, they're kind of old and washed, and they absolutely dominated you. That was an embarrassing performance by them. The other thing I thought about, Erling Haaland is 6'5", 208.
Big guy.
Like, how come we don't have a Devin Booker? I know everybody asks this question every World Cup. It's just like, it's amazing to me as somebody that's in and around youth sports, how much money, and Dan Wetzel put this out yesterday. He said maybe making travel soccer even more expensive will help the U.S. finally get good. And somebody quote
tweeted, let's continue to gatekeep our sport. That's a good idea financially.
I do think youth sports in a weird way, like, in a weird way, I think it's actually hurting the way our structure is.
Without a doubt,
because
it is.
The amount of time
it's broken.
These kids have to spend traveling and playing, and they don't get breaks.
No.
I know kids that it's year-round.
It does not stop.
And it's,
my nephew's that way with soccer. He plays year-round soccer.
It never stops, and eventually, you know, it's normal to just feel the burnout and be like, dude, I've been doing this for 11 years. I'm a child. Like, yeah. And some kids
continue. I'm 18 years old. I've done this for over half my life.
Well, but somebody quote tweeted Dan Wetzel and had a really funny anecdote. And you can choose to say, oh, well, it's easy to say this when they have Erling Haaland. True. Norway 40 years ago basically made youth soccer free and developed academy systems where kids didn't have to pay money.
What? And you're telling Norway me that helped develop their national players?
It's the furthest they've ever been
what
in their country's history.
That had nothing to do with it.
I'm not saying it does have everything to do with it. Again, it's nice to have an Erling Haaland
born and exist. Yeah, it's the point of simply, and there's all sports that you can go out and find ways to play, but in terms of the channels and the pools that you need to go in and swim in, There is a financial gatekeeping aspect of it that will always limit us on the national stage. It just always will.
Yeah.
Because you're leaving kids behind that cannot afford it. Not everybody can afford $2,000 twice a year for a travel team and jerseys and cleats and road trips and hotels and, hey, we're playing in this state now and then that state.
Yep.
Not everybody can afford that, man. And there's a lot of incredibly talented soccer players, I'm sure, that just slip through the cracks at young ages. And this is a case in a lot of different sports, but there's not this much gatekeeping, I feel like, in others. And in sports like basketball, you can just go play on your own one-on-one and work on your game.
But
again,
it's starting to be gatekept
no doubt
a
about
bit,
it.
Too. Like, all these other sports are starting to
no
develop
doubt about
this
it.
A little bit.
And there's a different style of player that you develop. There's a different level that you can get to. And it's just there's an unfortunate nature of that. I don't ever see that changing. And if it doesn't change, we've been having this conversation. I'm in my late 30s. You're in your late 30s. This has been my entire adult life.
Soccer.
So how are we going to get there?
We're going to take it over now.
In the first moment where it's like, hey, here's a little momentum.
It
it's on our
different.
Own soil. It's in our own stadiums.
Yep.
Our own fans are here. And same as it's always been.
It didn't
been.
Look any different than it's always looked. And
it's
then
no
like,
different than a Qatar loss 4 years ago when you get smoked somewhere in the middle of the night.
And every time during the journey I hear, and I've been hearing this forever, soccer in the USA, it's going to be the next big sport. And I'm not saying the MLS won't become a really highly thought of league, but it's not there. And when you end every World Cup like that, it's hard to get a lot of people to want to commit and care about it.
Yes.
On a deeper level. That doesn't make it right or wrong.
The energy will build back up again 4 years from now, and we all know how the movie's
going
to end.
But see, here's the thing. I think it's actually going to trail off a little bit because the beauty of this one was it's in our backyard.
There's no doubt about it.
It was all over our country. We were featured. There's no North American teams left. Mexico's gone. Canada's gone. We're gone. We were having games in Seattle, Santa Clara, L.A. Didn't matter.
Nope.
And we tuned in and we followed.
We did.
When it goes to Spain and wherever the hell else it's going, it'll get good viewership. I don't think it'll get the same.
No. The games will be on.
They need USA to become a wagon. They need to get to like the Elite Eight, maybe flirt with the semis type level, I think, to get the same amount of interest. Because a 9-hour clock is a big difference for a lot of people.
I'm with you there.
USA falls on their face. We can get back more into that later on. Just like, Why are we not better at that, given the amount of money and people playing youth soccer? It is kind of crazy to think about.
It is.
But loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague. Hour number two, we've got a coaching hire locally and a follow-up from yesterday I want to get to with Dirt. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.